You're listening to The Big Cast, your source for the latest in financial technology. Brought to you weekly by the Best Innovation Group, with your hosts, John Best and Glenn Cervati.
Welcome to another edition of The Big Cast. My name is Glenn Cervati. On behalf of the Best Innovation Group, where we like to do cool things with financial technology, with a specific focus on credit unions and fintechs, and this should be a really good one. I'm looking forward to this. We've been hoping to have this conversation with Gordon Howe for a good couple of months now. Gordon Howe is the CEO of Unify Financial Credit Union, $3 billion asset organization with a footprint that pretty much spans the U.S. And Gordon and Unify are among the first to come into the market and offer crypto services directly to credit union members through their financial institution. Which is obviously something we've been talking about quite a bit. I was on stage with Gordon at CUNA GAC talking on this topic, and we thought that having some time to drill down in more detail would, I thought, be interesting to a lot of folks. So that's what we'll be doing today, and I can't think of a more interesting time to be doing it either with, in case you haven't noticed, there's been some fairly interesting times over the course of the last couple weeks in the crypto space. So we'll be getting into that, and Gordon refers to that as well. As always, just reminding you that you can find out more about the Best Innovation Group at our website, big-fintech.com. We'll talk a little bit about that further, but let me jump back into the whole idea of what's been going on in crypto. You may have noticed, it's probably worth mentioning this today because of the timeliness. The story is changing on an almost hourly basis. I am recording this on Monday, May 16th, before the stock markets open. Obviously, crypto is always available 24/7 and markets are moving. And our conversation with Gordon took place last Wednesday on May 11th. So keep that in mind when you hear his comments. But as of this recording, crypto is sitting right at its 12-month low, just right around $30,000. It's almost identical to the low price of the last 12 months, which was hit last July. I think it's worth noting, because obviously people are not pleased about that. I just did a double check. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ Composite Index, also at 12-month lows. And in both of those cases, they're below the prior 12-month low by a fairly decent margin, as opposed to the Bitcoin price being pretty much exactly where it was. So the drop has been, depending on how you want to do it, semantics. Statistics can be twisted around how you like them. But the decline from the 12-month low is not as severe. Obviously, the peak was a whole lot higher for Bitcoin. So the price is down by half. Let's not sugarcoat that. So the pain in terms of the decline is greater. But we've known, as we talk about in this episode, that we've always known that there's some pretty significant price fluctuations going on. The one that really has gotten attention this week, however, is Terra USD, which is was supposedly a stable coin, which is supposed to hold its value. There's a bunch of different stable coins out there, and most of them are sitting right pegged. They're usually pegged at the US dollar. Don't need to be. They can be pegged to the euro. They can be pegged to gold, et cetera, et cetera. Supposedly, they have currency, hard assets backing them up, and that holds their value. Well, the Terra USD was something a little bit different that was referred to as an algorithmic stable coin. And supposedly, they had behind-the-scenes machinations that added to or destroyed supply of the coins that would help keep its value pegged. Did a little bit of research after. I couldn't find the exact clip to attach, but the phrase algorithmic stablecoin reminds me a little bit of the phrase Mercedes leather. I don't know if anybody remembers that one from an Albert Brooks movie back in the 1980s called Lost in America. Algorithmic stablecoin, to me, is not a stablecoin. And unfortunately, I think people have found that out. And big declines to the point where basically Terra, for a while, became totally worthless. But it's clearly down in like the 15-20 cent range. That has caused a lot of confidence disruption in the markets. I think it's worth looking at a lot of the other stablecoins, the ones backed by hard assets, did actually take a little bit of a hit. Like Tether, I think, dropped by to as low as 95 cents. Now, in theory, it should not be below a dollar at all. But I think when you start seeing something like Terra go down to the extent it did, people got a little panicky. Those have pretty much all stabilized right back at about the dollar mark. But it's an interesting one. I think it's worth reminding people, and we'll get into this again, the only crypto asset that NYDIG, which is one of the providers that provides the backbones for this, and therefore the ones that Unify provides trading in at this point, is Bitcoin. So stablecoin's a little bit of a different model. Here's a hot take for you, too. I've got my own impressions here. And I think, as you know, I'm not necessarily the world's biggest Bitcoin zealot and crypto zealot. I think of myself as being kind of smack dab in the middle and hopefully as objective as possible. In the long run, I think this may be a watershed moment as a positive for stablecoins because A, it may shake this whole notion of the algorithmic stablecoin right out of the market, and B, it might drive the requirement for greater oversight and disclosure to confirm that stablecoins really have the hard assets backing them. And if they do, they make a lot of sense. And they also provide a great utility, and if the confidence is there, rock and roll. Let's move forward in terms of dealing with things from a means of exchange basis. So with that said, let's jump in with our conversation, as I said, with Gordon Howe. These are excerpts from a town hall session we did with Gordon on May 11th. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll know immediately why I will never be a salesperson, because I'm going to tell you that I'm going to give you the highlights of that. I would strongly encourage you, if you want to really dig into this, just skip the rest of this and go straight to the town hall. The website, cutownhall.com, you'll find a link to the full one-hour session with Gordon Howe. Great stuff. Really interesting. John Best moderated the conversation. I threw in a couple of questions as well, as you will be hearing. And this is 20 minutes of, I think, really good highlights. I mean, you can start here, and I'll kind of intersperse a little bit with a few other thoughts of things that came up along the way. And as I said, with Gordon's perspective, especially as the market's evolving in real time, I thought it was really good stuff. One thing I'll mention again, NYDIG, one of the providers, they are a back office provider that actually enables the crypto trading. So just to make sure that's clear in this excerpt. And Q2 is the core service provider that also interoperates to make sure that all works. So let's start off with our conversation with Gordon Howe. First piece, he's speaking about the rationale of why Unify got into this space of crypto trading in the first place.
So what, just as we got into this thing, is we just knew that, again, we're a payment industry, right? What we do is we support our members from a payment perspective. And we knew that crypto was going to play a part in that long term, right? So again, as we kind of went into looking at crypto, we didn't kind of do a lot of a deep research and white papers or anything else. We just wanted to experiment. We wanted to try it out, right? In a very small, methodical approach. And that's kind of what we kind of worked with NYDIG, because actually with Q2 and NYDIG, there was this kind of, it was probably 6 months into last year. By mid last year, they were talking about, hey, look, can somebody come up with some kind of wallet, crypto wallet product for a credit union? And said, okay, and they were also doing the banks too. And so we said, yeah, we got a little development team, kind of put it together. Actually, with a lot of people started backing out because of the regulatory concerns and, you know, hey, risk, what's going to happen? We just kept plowing through the whole process. Said, you know what, we're going to just develop a platform and then we'll take the risk of we get there, right? If we have an issue with any kind of things, we can pull the platform back. We don't have it live to our members, stuff like that, but we're going to build the kind of the infrastructure behind it. So we built the infrastructure behind it. And then when we went back to NYDIG and Q2, we were one of the top two or three that actually had a program ready to go where we actually did a custodial wallet for the member, where again, so we were able to kind of structure this thing where the member could buy the crypto from NYDIG, and we only chose Bitcoin because that was the only coin that actually NYDIG was offering at the time. But we have our crypto wallet that we hold with NYDIG, and then we were able to break out the custodial, working with NYDIG, break out the custodial wallets for each one of our members, okay, from a structure standpoint. And then Q2 was able to display that custodial wallet that's off balance sheet through our online banking provider. And that's what it was. There was no really rocket science behind this thing. It was just being able to create a custodial wallet, breaking down by member, and being able to display this through the online banking channel.
So Gordon, when I log in, I'm a Unify member. I buy some crypto via the NYDIG platform, which presumably I get to somehow via your website or something. It then is deposited automatically when I purchase it, because I'm assuming that the wallet is the default for that NYDIG. I think I've seen the implementation with Visions as well. And then when I log in to Q2, I not only do I see the money I have in Unify as it relates to the various accounts that are on the core, but I also see the balance of what is out on the blockchain for my particular Bitcoin account. But when you say wallet, when I hear wallet also sort of, the word sort of says I could also do a transfer or I could send money to someone.
Exactly. And that's why I called it custodial wallet.
Okay.
It's a custodial wallet where it's just kind of a hold and view right now. And I'll talk about that in the future slides. But again, we're changing that wallet structure going forward, and some of the stuff I'll talk about a little bit later. But it's just a custodial view hold only, because again, that wallet can only transact with our Unify account, right? So they can only buy or sell the crypto through their account at Unify, right?
Right.
So again, if they buy it, they can transfer from their savings, checking, and that's all the infrastructure we built behind it, right? But
sure.
If you buy or sell from there, transfer to their wallet in Bitcoin, and then from the Bitcoin, if they want to sell it, they got to put it back through their savings or checking account at Unify, right?
Yep.
So like I said, that's why I call it a custodial wallet, because it doesn't have the transactional or the transferability or anything else at this time.
Is there inter-member transfer? Can I transfer to my kids or another member?
Nope.
Not at this point. Okay.
No, the thing is, what I have to do is sell it, put it in their account,
and then let them rebuy it.
And then they have to buy it on their custodial.
But hey, it's a start, right? And so if I don't have, let's say I don't have any crypto, when I log in, there's probably a blank spot that says Bitcoin, but you don't have any.
Yeah. Well, no, the thing is that you'd have to enroll. Once you enroll and sign the 100 disclosures and stuff like that, we have to put out there, right? then they will have that. And then it could be, you know, a dollar. You can have a dollar. You can buy it as low as a dollar on Bitcoin.
Wow.
And if I can just clarify, I'm guessing that most of our listeners or members of this topic understand this already, but Gordon, NYDIG is one of the big players in partnering with financial institutions to bring this capability to market. Yeah. I assume they already had a partnership with Q2 that made it more streamlined for you.
I guess it was a partnership, Glenn. It was more of a think tank almost, right? They kind of put together and said, hey, let's put it out there. Let's see if we can get some financial institutions to kind of help work this concept through it, right? And Q2 was very open to saying, look, we'll open up our kind of our software as much as we can and give you the flexibility to write what you need to write so we can give this. Because they knew too that they need to be different than everybody else out there. They need to be able to get into crypto and be able to provide this to from an app solution there. So.
And I know given that you were one of the very first on this trail, it makes sense that they were still in the exploratory stages. I know that just this week, NYDIG announced a partnership with Jack Henry. I believe they work with FIS. So they're covering that turf. And again, it's a partnership between Unify and NYDIG, because the actual crypto assets, as you say, they're off balance sheet. They reside with NYDIG.
Correct.
Because, again, that's the requirement from a regulatory standpoint. You can have that partnership, not insured. You make all those disclosures, as you say.
Yep.
The continuity is there. It's got the connectivity.
Yeah. And I think there was a chat that came up about the account takeover aspect of it as well, too. And that's why it's custodial. And that's the one thing that we had to deal with the regulators and stuff on that after the fact, after we did it, was, again, the only way they can actually take that money out of the custodial, they have to pass it through a Unify share loan. I mean, a checking or a savings account or anything else, right? So, again, if the member was able to take over member accounts, and we've all had those situations where we've had, you know, our member accounts get hijacked, right, and been taken over, right? That, again, could they go into the Bitcoin, liquidate it into the savings or checking just like any other, any other of their.
Oh yeah, and then run it out ACH or something.
Right, exactly. So again, yeah, can you get to that Bitcoin wallet? Yeah, but you only can liquidate to your savings account.
So. And you're making such a valid point, because this sort of smacks to me, and I remember you and I talking about this, Gordon, when U-Post first came out, and everybody was kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, pooping on it.
Yeah.
And I remember leaning over and going, well, what about all the empty envelopes in the ATM?
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. We're sort of stepping over, dimes in terms of convenience to get the pennies. And there's always going to be a way to get the money out. And frankly, but the point that Bitcoin is completely irreversible as a transaction, and it could be some anonymous account or something, it's a very good point. And, you know, the way to shore that up is going to be to continue to increase your, your wallet security, just like anybody else has.
Right. And we'll get into that. When you talked about, John, we talked about that transferability and stuff like that. That's what I'm more concerned about. And then when you start doing the transaction piece, right, then we really have to worry about that. From right now, I don't see it. It's just like, it's just another, I used to look at it as just another share account, basically.
Yep.
Sitting online.
Yeah.
That's it. So
these numbers are amazing, by the way.
Yeah. And it's what, well, the numbers were great the last few months. Okay. And we'll talk about that, right? Because again, if you look at this, remember, we've always had the issue from the industry about how do we retain some of the indirect members. A lot of us are into indirect lending, right? And we bring all these accounts and stuff like that. But that was surprising, as the indirect members, I mean, we got over 700 of our indirect members who have now not just brought their loan over, but saw it on the site and it actually signed up for the crypto account, right? So there has been so much interest from any of our members that are online, right? Especially with indirect, that was the one that was shocking, because again, usually they have a loan. They didn't come to Unify to sign up for membership, right? We bought their loan, they come on, they make their payments, they go away. But now we're trying to find more products and services that will retain these members longer term, past their life of their loan with us. So,
and it turns out crypto, Bitcoin in particular, is attractive to them, based on what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people. You see, the dollars are not huge. I mean, we have a total of about 25 Bitcoins in our wallet in total, right? Broken up among the 5,500 or so members that we have there. But what I'm seeing is that people want to play, right? Mm-hmm. They want to experiment, right? There's not a large dollar amount. You see the average balances in the other slides. So not a lot. But again, we're seeing activity, and we want this to become sticky. We want them, with all the stuff that's going on with the Coinbase right now. You guys have been seeing all the stuff that's going on with Coinbase and the whole mess that they're in right now, and looking at bankruptcy and everything else. We're hoping to see some of that transfer over that's why we're going slow. We're going slow, methodical on this stuff and making sure we hear everything. Because again, that's why I was concerned about only doing Bitcoin at first. I wanted to do Litecoin, doing some of the other ones. But again, that's coming, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But again, we really need to get a handle of kind of what the members are saying. And we're seeing the results from our members is, yes, I'm surprised that we're up to 5,500 members so far on the account after the first 3 months or so. So,
you know, it reminds me also the whole point that I've seen a couple of different studies, and Gordon, you and I spoke about this on stage at CUNA GAC, but you know, the research shows that there is a majority of American consumers would rather transact their Bitcoin through their financial institution. And my belief is the earlier kind of bleeding edge that were involved in it were probably more inclined to work with somebody different, because they, you know, again, they're just more risk-taking. So I can make an argument that even as things get funky, like you say, with Coinbase and whatnot, that just drives even more people, as you mentioned, into the financial institution realm to do this, as opposed to some unknown entity that, you know, picked up a big name recently but doesn't have the track record. And I don't know if it's probably too early to see that, but I'm guessing that may be what you experience over the course of the next month or two.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk some of those numbers too. But again, I'll give you, if you want to jump into that one too, right? We've had, it's just funny, in the last week, we have had over 100 buys of Bitcoin and only 4 sales.
Really?
In the last week. So what it's telling me is that they're looking at this as truly an investment, right? They're truly looking at this as a long-term investment. And they're not concerned about it dropping. We don't see the sales going out there. because they know it's going to bounce back, right? If anybody who's in crypto, right, knows that they have these huge peaks and valleys and stuff like that. Absolutely. And they're just going to ride the wave and everything else and go forward. So again, that's what we've seen in there. But I've only had about 352 new members just in April. So we've seen the drop. And I think that's because of the market, right? I think with Bitcoin dropping, crypto kind of being that is in favor right now, we don't see a lot of people signing up for that. But we haven't done any pushes. We knew that this was not the time to kind of push this. We'll wait till it kind of goes on rebound, then we'll do another big push on this stuff. But because we're just letting the members find it through our website right now. So,
and I remember when we talked back at the end of February, I mean, the ratio, and I guess it's not that surprising given that you were just getting started, the ratio of buys to sells was very heavily weighted toward buys, which, unless you're going to get involved with day trading, makes sense because people are amassing. But I would have expected that you would be running at least 50-50 over the course of the last month. And the fact that you're not is phenomenal.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
So from there, we actually got into another bit of a conversation that I thought was really cool. There was a neat heat map. And again, if you go to the full thing, cutownhall.com, you'll actually be able to see the video of the Zoom session that actually includes his slides. He had a heat map of where the folks who have opened up crypto accounts by sell hold with Unify are populated. And the original expectation of theirs was it was going to be concentrated in Silicon Valley and a couple of the big major markets. No. When you see this chart, if you go out there, you'll find that it's pretty well spread and actually looks an awful lot if you overlay that with the member base and the concentration of the member bases in different areas. It's pretty broad-based. The other thing that Gordon discussed after that is the members who have activated a crypto wallet log in twice as often. Well, one of the things we're always talking about is greater engagement with our credit union member base. Well, two times the number of mobile logins, I think that speaks for itself. Also a good opportunity here, one of the things that we talked about was the whole notion of the offering of crypto services through the credit union is already been demonstrated to be something that consumers want. That's been researched. They'd rather engage through their credit unions and financial institutions. But hopefully it will stanch the outflow of funds going to other exchanges. This is something Best Innovations Group has been looking at. And if you get a chance, go out and take a look at cucrypto.report. We are crowdsourcing anonymized information from the industry to try to get a better handle on just exactly what the money flow looks like coming out of credit unions into these exchanges, if we can draw any correlations with price changes, news events, things like that. No cost of whatsoever to participate. Obviously, more data means better insights, and everybody who participates will get a customized report, basically benchmarking their own experience against what we find about the anonymized, keyword there, anonymized information that we pick up across the board. But with that in mind, let's just jump back in, and Gordon talks a little bit about what they're seeing as far as the outflow and inflow of money regarded to crypto services at Unify.
Well, we jumped into that thing. Yeah, we're seeing an outflow every month of 15 to 20 million outflow to other coin based, you know, if they're in the ACH report, right? Seeing the coin, you know, crypto.com, Coinbase, all the other ones, right? So we saw this money going out, and it's some coming back in too, right? It's going in and out and stuff like that. But that's kind of why it was very attractive to kind of get into that market too. So,
a little worried about this again, one. Gordon, it looks like it's in Mexico, Gordon. Just heads up.
Okay.
It's on the border.
Gordon, you launched this, just as a reminder, you launched in January?
Yes, January, I think it was 2nd.
Oh, so it's very early in the year because speak up if you're out there, but our regulars on this call, Visions Credit Union, who launched much more recently. I know Cynthia Schroeder and Joe Keller were both traveling.
Cynthia can't be here. I think Joe's here.
And Cynthia shared a little bit of information, and she shared most of what they found, at least in their more limited view, is very consistent with the data that you're showing.
Oh,
but
good.
She mentioned that their outflows have also slowed down since they launched. She didn't want to draw the conclusion it's because they launched. She said it also kind of coincided with the Bitcoin market dropping off a bit. So that might have been part of the reason. But again, same thing. As soon as she launched, she did see a decline in the outflows going out to other exchanges.
Yep.
So Mike mentioned, Stanford, I believe, they just went very, even more recently, I believe, just went live.
Yep. So there's a couple questions in the chat I'd like to get to real fast, and then we'll keep going. So Naveen wants to know, how are these reflected in terms of taxes, tax forms? Are these, is NYDIG handling that, or does
NYDIG handles all the disclosures and also all the tax reporting that's done on the sales? And I think that's another reason why you're seeing a lot of buys, because you're only having to do it on the sell, right? Mm-hmm. So people are looking at it from an investment standpoint as well.
Because now if they did sell and translate it to that, is NYDIG handling the, like if it's over 10,000, okay.
Yeah, all that is done by them.
And then Mark Wilson wants to know, any issues with NYDIG not licensed in North Carolina or Hawaii? And does the platform limit transactions in these markets? Let's go back to
your I don't believe so. I would have to go and follow up on that one. But again,
There's someone on the border here.
Yeah, I'm exactly. But I know that initially at first when we were talking about it, even Nevada wasn't licensed, right? So We knew we couldn't roll out to certain states. And again, we are slowly but surely, as soon as NYDIG gives us a green light, we'll open it back up to those members as well too. So
you got this one guy in Bristol Bay. So interesting. I love data. I just love data. All right. Well, and then their last question, I think. Okay. No, that's it for now. Do you have plan to launch crypto ATMs eventually? Great question.
Yeah, actually.
For my friend Julie.
Yes, Julie. Yes. Not separate. We are upgrading all of our ATMs right now to be able to offer that functionality within our own ATM platforms.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what we're doing.
Wow. I can get actual Bitcoins out of it.
Well, I'll give you an example. Is because some of our SEGs have been have come to us and say, "Look, we've been kind of been approached by these Bitcoin companies that want to put their Bitcoins in like a retail space or a grocery store chain or Toyota's manufacturing plant, stuff like that." So we know that they've been getting these requests. So we've already told them, said, "Look, we will have the ability." Now, we want to keep it within our wallet. That's kind of what our focus is, right? That they can buy and sell crypto, but keep it within the Unify family, as the Unify wallet. That's our goal with our Bitcoin ATMs. But it's going to be one and the same. We're not going to have two separate ones.
So the next thing that we talked about was kind of the roadmap of where Unify hopes to go with this going forward. A couple of things hot on their on the top of their list is wallet-to-wallet transfers. The ability for folks to move money back and forth between each other in crypto. That is not part of the functionality up front. They're also looking in adding trading capabilities for tokens beyond Bitcoin. That's tied both to regulatory comfort as well as NYDIG's ability and offering of those different tokens. So that comes up. But then the piece you're going to hear, and you'll hear John Best's voice here first, the piece that really gets interesting is the notion of lending. Obviously, credit unions looking to improve and increase their lending capabilities and their outflows from that standpoint. And the ability to loan against a collateralized balance of crypto that's on account with the credit union. It has a lot of appeal. And there's a couple different ways of doing that, both on an institutional basis and individually against member balances. So let's jump into that just a bit.
All right. This is what I'm super excited to hear about.
Okay. So again, talking about this, and I was actually at the Cornerstone League meeting and Kyle was there talking, and Kyle's the vice chair of the NCUA. And he has this idea about, hey, why can't we, if we're going to have this crypto wallet, right? Why can't we lend against it, right? Why can't we do a shared secure loan and stuff like that? Because again, as we're seeing so far, which all totally makes sense, if members are buying and holding it, right? They don't want to lose their liquidity position on that stuff, right? They want to hold it. They want to hope it goes up, but they want to be able to get that money out to purchase a car, purchase a home, whatever else. That is where we see the biggest move in the lending space is this. Now, again, I can share this with everybody on the call too, but we have already done an institutional Bitcoin secured loan with NYDIG. Okay. So what we have done is we have provided them a line of credit for $300 million. Okay. That is secured daily by Bitcoin. Okay. So follow me right there. So we've given a $300 million line of credit. It's already fully out, because they, NYDIG has huge investment firms, insurance companies, high net worth individuals that hold Bitcoin with NYDIG, but do not want to liquidate their position, but need to lend against it. So NYDIG is lending out. We have provided them a line of credit that's secured by Bitcoin for that, that's marked to market every day on that from an institutional. So what we're trying to do is this institutional lending, we are now want to bring that down to where we can now hold the ability to hold an individual custodial wallet and allow that same action for a member. So if a member says, look, I need $500, you know, and I got, you know, $1,000 in on my crypto wallet, right, at Unify, you know, yeah, take your $500, you get the $500 immediately. Not a loan application, not that. Immediately, you get $500. We put a $1,000 hold or $1,000 in Bitcoin-related thing there. And so maybe it's at 50%, maybe it's at 75%, maybe it's at 67%, right? That's what we're doing right now.
Well, that's, and we've seen that model from Venmo and others where they give you a debit card related to that. Mm-hmm. But you know what, what's more also interesting to me as well in relation to this in terms of lending is, man, this sure seems like a tremendous opportunity, and you're proving the mettle of it to revamp the reward system. Because mm-hmm. I've always felt that that's our biggest problem with the Credian cards. They've got better rates, but the rewards just, for whatever reason, don't resonate as well. And I think the crypto could be a way to leapfrog that. Like, have you guys thought about doing your rewards in crypto deposits? Yep. Then after a while, everybody would have a little bit of Bitcoin in their account.
Because think about it. If I can say, look, even from a share account, right, John, right, whatever, mm-hmm. if I can provide you just your dividends in crypto, or rewards, whatever it may be, the more wallets I can create where the member gives me permission to create a wallet, even if there's $2 in there, $3 in there, right? It's going to eventually, hopefully they will start using that when there's more functionality that they can do for the wallet. Because the next thing we were talking about that earlier is the Lightning Network is, again, like when we go open to my wallet, okay, and you have multiple credit cards that you want to use, or your debit card or whatever else to buy a transaction, right? Or you're using your Apple Pay or whatever else, right? I want the member to be able to come to us and say, okay, look, I'm at McDonald's, right? Because the McDonald's already signed up with the Lightning Network and everything else. I want the member to say, look, okay, I don't have any cash in my Unify account, but I got some Bitcoin. I'm going to sell some of the Bitcoin and buy my Big Mac and fries and stuff like that, right? I want them to have that ability to, if they're buying something and the merchants are accepting multiple currencies, I want to be in that game.
So there you have it. One more time, I'll mention, once again, thanks so much to Gordon Howe. I thought that was a fascinating conversation. And based on the interaction in the chat window that we had going during the town hall, I think a lot of people agreed with that. And again, if you found that interesting, there's a whole lot more where it came from. Go out to the Credit Union Town Hall website, cutownhall.com, and click on episode number 85, and you'll find the full one-hour episode with video of his slides with Gordon's experience from Unify Credit Union and how they've been working with crypto. With that, I think we'll wrap up another edition of the BigCast. I will mention that if you're listening to this soon after it posts, this is the week of May 16th, and I will be in San Francisco at the latter part of this week at Finovate Spring, taking place out in San Francisco. If you happen to be going in that direction, please give a holler and say hi. Always one of our favorite things is to not only see people out there that are interested in the space, have some conversations, and also track down the best of the demoing companies and gather quick interviews with them for the BigCast. And that is what we will be presenting to you next week when we're back here next Tuesday with another episode, the highlights from Finovate Spring. Again, check us out on the website, big-fintech.com. You can find me on Twitter, my firm, 154 Advisors. My name is Glenn Sarvati, and you'll find me at 154 Advisors. You'll find the Best Innovation Group on Twitter, at Big Fintech, or our grand poobah, John Best, at JB Fintech. As I said, we're here with new content every week on Tuesdays at the BigCast. You can find us wherever you pick up your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, etc. Give us a like or a subscribe there if you're so inclined. You can also find a robust, archive of past episodes if you go out to the Best Innovation Group website, big-fintech.com, click on the media tab, and you can keep yourself busy for hours. Again, my name is Glenn Cervati. As always, thanks so much for listening.
Check back each week for the latest from the Big Cast. Or better yet, we hope you'll consider subscribing for free via Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at Big Fintech, email info@big-fintech.com, or visit us at big-fintech.com and click on the media tab where you can post a comment or check out our archive of hundreds of past episodes. See you next week.